We're broadcasting from the GANAG booth. We've been here all day. We're going to be here all day tomorrow. And, of course, on Thursday with the Congressional U.S. House Ag Committee Congressional Field Hearing for the next Farm Bill, there's going to be a lot of folks here. So, through the course of the day, I may or may not have said some things that I may or may not have meant. I'm not sure. But all of a sudden, an attorney has shown up here. No, but he's a friendly attorney, friend of the farmer, Rinky Noonan's Kale Van Bruggen. How you doing, Kale?
Good, Mick. Thank you.
Yes, and yes, you get behind farmers when they need you, and I guess with the buffer law in Minnesota, is that kind of the focus of your work this year?
There's been a lot of questions, certainly at this event, about the buffer law. Does it apply? What do I have to do with it? Mm-hmm. Is it a taking? Is someone going to challenge it? That sort of thing. So we've been trying to walk people through it, make sure they know where to turn for information and whether to figure out if this applies to them or not.
Yeah. All right. And does it? I mean, is it still a legislation in the making? Is it done yet?
At this point, the legislation is done. It seems to be moving forward. So November 1st of 2017, all public waters, those are waters that were inventoried in the 80s and are on the DNR public waters list, will have to have an average 50-foot buffer. And November 1 of 2018, all public drainage systems will have to have a buffer as well.
Alrighty. And that is, I guess, it's affecting farmers in the pocketbook, or are they having to spend money, or are there enough programs in place for farmers to utilize?
Well, here's the example we use, Mick. We when we're talking about the buffer law, when we say, okay, if you tell a company to treat their water as it's coming out of their plant before they put it into the river, let's say 3M, price of post-it notes goes up and public pays for that for the services they provide. Farmers, unfortunately, don't get to go to the elevator and say, well, I grew this corn using buffers and grass waterways and I didn't drain any wetlands and I used cover crops, so I want $2 more a bushel for my corn. They don't get to say that. So, you know, I wish more people understood how that directly affects farmers different than other industries. It really does affect their pocketbook.
Yeah, because very few regulatory agencies say to the automobile industry or any manufacturing, this is what you must do, and not, you know, subsidize them in some way.
That's right, and or they have the ability to then raise the price of cars, and we all pay for it as consumers when we buy that product. Same doesn't work in the ag industry. They definitely are price takers and not price makers.
Yeah.
And so, unfortunately, they don't get to pass that cost on to all of us as food consumers like other industries do.
A lot of producers in the Dakotas have used your services when it comes to drainage, tile drainage, making sure all the everything's in the right in order, you know, whether it's downstream or easements and all that. And is the dust settling there? Is the state, all three states, easier to work with?
Well, we are seeing some improvements, but I always refer to it rather than dust settling as feeling like when you hammer down one issue, then another one pops up somewhere else.
All right.
So it kind of seems
I know
to
that
be
game. I play at Chuck E. Cheese.
That's right. That's exactly how it seems to go in this industry as well, but. Yeah, in North Dakota, we work with a lot of producers on NRCS wetland determinations. If you're enrolled in the farm program or you buy federally subsidized crop insurance, then part of your agreement of entering those programs is that you won't produce these crops by converting wetlands. Mm-hmm. And so when a landowner gets a determination from NRCS, we'll help them look at it and evaluate if they have an issue with it, evaluate whether or not it should be appealed and help take them through the appeals process.
Any horror stories lately?
Well, there was a case out of North Dakota that we've talked about before related to highly erodible lands, where if you look closely at the statute, it says you can't have a converted wetland on highly erodible cropland. And a farmer out of North Dakota took that case all the way to the National Appeals Division and won. And the judge sided with him. A new directive from NRCS headquarters instructing state conservationists to report that issue basically to D.C. If that comes up in an appeal, they'll deal with it on the federal level. So there's still some, you know, uneasiness there. This is what the statute says. I believe NRCS's position on it is if you need to convert the wetland for your conservation plan, that's one thing. But if you're just doing it because it's highly erodible land, even though that's what the statute says, they're directing folks to refer that one to DC and they'll handle it on a case-by-case basis. So anytime there's some conflict there or not a clear precedent, we get calls. People want to know what to do, and it's hard to advise on because you have to deal with it, you know, case by case.
And when it comes to some certain governmental agencies, it can be a expensive battle.
Well, and there's multiple agencies you got to keep in mind too. So, you know, anytime you're doing drain tile, you also have to watch the Army Corps, EPA if you're working in wetlands that are possibly jurisdictional waters of the United States. Also in North Dakota, if your tiling project's 80 acres or more of footprint, you need to make sure you get your permit from your Water Resource District Board as well.
Right, yeah. A lot of guys are up to speed on that, but still there are many surprises along the way. So
that's right.
Yeah. All right, one of the cases that have been followed a lot by all farmers in the Upper Midwest is the Des Moines Water Resources Board. Tell us, there's new information?
Yeah, so that case, last year we were talking about it. We were still waiting for the courts to make a decision, but just to bring everyone up to speed, that was a case where the Des Moines Water Works that treats water for people to drink in the Des Moines community sued the drainage districts that the state legislature has in Iowa made as the local government body to manage public drains.
Basically the ones all around Des Moines.
Correct, and what they said was they're responsible for the cost that the Des Moines Water Works plant incurs to remove the nitrates from the drinking water. Mm-hmm. And they're saying it's being sourced from the drain tile coming out of these districts. That was a federal court case, but the judge in that case referred it to the Supreme Court of Iowa with some certified questions saying, can these districts even be liable for this? And the judge, the Supreme Court justice said, there's about 100 years of precedence where these drainage districts are immune from tort liability. Mm-hmm. They've been given just a very small task from the legislature, and if you want to make them responsible for managing water quality, you need to first do that through the legislature, not through the court system. And so that case, although it got tossed out, the court never really got to the question of, are farmers going to be liable for nitrates coming out of drain tile? And so we still don't have a clear answer on that yet, other than the legislative history in the Clean Water Act saying, you know, a big part of passing this was saying farmers as stormwater discharge are exempt, mm-hmm. that the Clean Water Act doesn't apply to them. Mm-hmm. So that question litigation-wise might still feel a little unsettled to people. And the legislature in Iowa put a bunch of money into studying that issue. And I believe, you know, hoping to deal with it through the legislative branch, not through the court system again.
Okay, all right. Waters of the U.S., where are we at on that now?
So the new administration has thrown out the Obama administration's Waters of the United States rule. And so although the Supreme Court already agreed that they would take jurisdiction over hearing that fight, that rule now has been tossed out. So where we're at is back to the Rapanos nexus test. So this is Justice Scalia's test is one of them that says any wetlands that have a surface water connection to navigable waters are jurisdictional. And then we have Justice Kennedy's nexus test that says wetlands that have a significant nexus to navigable waters are within the Corps and EPA's jurisdiction. And what that is defined to mean is anything with a chemical, physical, or biological connection. So although the rule is thrown out and it had a lot of farmers concerned, where we're at now is back to this uncertainty, this regulatory uncertainty of we're going to have to look at these on a case-by-case basis, and there's going to have to be requests from the Corps to do jurisdictional determinations. We now know from the Hawks case that those can be appealed, but you're really going to have to evaluate each project case-by-case and try to compare it to the guidance that's out there. I hear rumblings that the new administration is working on a new rule, but I think we can always expect there to be litigation over any rule related to this issue, yeah. You know, going forward.
Well, the Clean Water Act been around since the early 70s.
That's right.
Yet there has been, you know, Swamp Buster. There have been all kinds of, you know, in the late 80s, wetlands cases that have been brought by the government against farmers. So
yeah, that's right.
A lot of anxiety,
yep.
And litigation.
That's right.
Yeah. So I guess so. Your service is very needed. What's keeping you busy now this year in 2017?
Well, about 70% of my work is in North Dakota now. Mm-hmm. So North Dakota is really doing a lot more drain tiling, and is, I'd say, trying to play catch up to the rest of the states around it that have had drainage for a while. So we're doing a lot of NRCS wetland appeals in North Dakota, working with some water resource districts that are digging legal drains, North Dakota's flat in a lot of areas, so we need structures in place to carry this water away and provide an outlet. And the legislature in North Dakota in the last session, although they were cost-sharing agriculture public legal drains, has now put that funding in with the same funding that goes for urban flood retention, flood control projects. So we're probably going to see that slow down without the state cost-share dollars. But I think folks are hopeful that that'll come back again and they'll separate that funding out.
Okay. You mentioned you work with folks up at Botno, the Botno City.
I work with the Botno County Water Resource District Board.
Okay.
Yep. They're Rinkin Union represents them, and they've been doing a lot of digging of legal drains and putting in structures so that farmers have outlets in place.
Okay. All right. So there is a way for everybody to get along, right?
There is. Yeah. Yep. It just takes some cooperation and communication. I think people hear drainage and they immediately get nervous. And I think if you sit down and look at it, you can figure out a way to help everybody situation out.
Yeah, all right. Well, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
You can find us online, rinkinunion.com, or our general number is 320-251-6700.
St. Cloud, Minnesota.
Correct.
And Rinke is R-I-N-K-E dash?
No dash.
No dash. R-I-N-K-E-N-O-O-N-A-N.com.
Correct.
So. Gotcha. All right. Well, Cale Van Bruggen, you're going to be at Big Iron.
I will.
Up.
I'll be at the Ellingson booth, and they're going to hold a couple days of classes again, where if you have questions, drainage law questions, bring them to me, see if you can stump me, and glad to talk to you about them.
All right. Well, it's always a challenge, but you always pull through. So,
thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Cale Van Bruggen.